You're with SBS Radio.
Shalom, Australia. The hottest days in nearly 50 years at the end of last week led to an outbreak of devastating fires which destroyed homes in two sites. The largest fire was in the Ben Shemen Forest around the 250-member community of Mavor Modi'im. The blaze largely destroyed the town, established by singer and rabbi Shlomo Carlebach in 1975. Residents of nearby Gimzo evacuated Torah scrolls from the synagogue as the flames approached. There were also evacuations from the towns of Tarum, Ne'ot Kdumim, Kfar Daniel, Kfar Uriya, Kamiya and Harel. In the West Bank, police evacuated some 30 families from their homes in the Bet Chagai settlement as a fire approached the community. Italy, Greece, Cyprus and Croatia agreed to send firefighting aircraft, but they would only have been able to depart for Israel on Friday morning, and by then the crisis was over. Nevertheless, there was another major fire in the Jerusalem suburb of Pisgat Ze'ev yesterday, and there are warnings that more fires could erupt. 22 people were hospitalized for smoke inhalation. In Jerusalem, an 80-year-old man was hospitalized at the Shaare Tzedek Medical Center after collapsing from heat stroke. Due to Thursday's weather, Israel Railways limited services in some areas as the heat caused train tracks to expand. Over a quarter of a million people flocked to Mount Meron in the north on Wednesday night and Thursday for traditional Lag BaOmer ceremonies, including bonfires, blessings, and dancing. Ahead of Lag BaOmer, permits to light bonfires were restricted in light of the weather conditions. It's not known if any of the fires the following day were the results of unextinguished bonfires. Several fires in the south, near Gaza, were believed to have been sparked by incendiary devices launched from the Gaza Strip. One blaze in Kamiya led to the evacuation of the tiny kibbutz, which lies north of the Strip. Firefighters battled another blaze in the Be'eri Forest. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu met with his prospective coalition partners on Thursday at an urgent meeting called at his office in Jerusalem. Avigdor Lieberman, head of the Israel Beiteinu party, boycotted the talks. The decision was made to form a minority government of 60 if Israel Beiteinu cannot be convinced to join the coalition. Netanyahu is battling to finalize his new government with only 2 days to go before the deadline. Lieberman has refused to enter the government unless the bill to increase the number of Haredim serving in the army is passed without any changes. The two ultra-Orthodox parties, Shas and United Torah Judaism, UTJ, reject the bill. Netanyahu would like UTJ, Shas, the Union of Right-Wing Parties, Kulanu and Yisrael Beiteinu, to join Likud in a 65-strong coalition. As part of the coalition agreement, the Prime Minister and his intended partners have agreed that the incoming government will legislate a far-reaching constitutional change to curb the power of the Supreme Court, giving Knesset members the authority to re-legislate laws that the court has struck down and preventing the court from intervening in administrative decisions. Not only will the proposed bill protect the Prime Minister for the term of his government from facing the legal charges against him, but there are also legal proceedings currently open against Shas leader Aryeh Deri, United Torah Judaism head Yaakov Litzman, and MKs from Likud Chaim Katz and David Bitan that would be covered. Dan Meridor, who held several ministerial posts under Netanyahu during his 21 years as an MK between 1984 and 2013, joined former Likud ministers Benny Begin and Limor Livnat in coming out publicly against the Prime Minister's push to curb the authority of the High Court of Justice and in the process safeguard himself from immunity from prosecution in the three cases against him. Meridor said the idea of an override clause. Well, we won't be a democracy. There'll be a dictatorship and the majority can do what it wants. The court can't say anything and there are no checks and balances. That is a dangerous anti-democratic idea. There's not a single parliament in the world without checks and balances. The Kulanu party, which had indicated last year that it would take a tough line against Netanyahu attempting to avoid prosecution, said on Thursday that it will support the override clause. Reduced from 10 seats in the last Knesset to 4 this time, Kulanu no longer had the political clout to thwart the kind of personal legislation it had blocked in the 4 years of the last Knesset. Tens of thousands of Israelis protested outside the Tel Aviv Museum of Art last night against the proposed legislation granting the Prime Minister immunity from prosecution. Yair Lapid of Israel's opposition Kahol Levan party compared Netanyahu's efforts to consolidate his power to Turkish President Erdogan. Addressing Netanyahu, Lapid said, "We won't have a Turkish dictator. We won't allow it." Among the prominent speakers were many lawyers. Attorney General Avichai Mandelblit on Wednesday agreed to postpone the pre-indictment hearing for the Prime Minister in three criminal cases by almost 3 months. The hearing had been scheduled for July 10th, 3 months after the investigation material was made available to Netanyahu's lawyers, who took more than a month to collect it, but now will be held on October 2nd to 3rd. Netanyahu's lawyers had asked the Attorney General for a full year delay, arguing that the scope of the documents was too large to review in 3 months. Mandelblit refused the request, saying it was not in the public interest. The Palestinian Authority on Wednesday formally rejected an invitation to a US-led peace conference planned for June 25-26 in Bahrain, where Washington is expected to unveil the economic aspects of its Middle East peace plan. The PA had previously indicated that it would not participate in the event, but had not officially refused. In his statement, Saeb Erekat rejected U.S. President Trump's envoy Jason Greenblatt's assertion that the plan has the potential to unlock a prosperous future for the Palestinians, saying Palestine's full economic potential can only be achieved by ending the Israeli occupation, respecting international law and UN resolutions. The Palestinian Authority has also criticized organizers for excluding the core political issues from the conference agenda. Greenblatt said they have nothing to lose if they join us, but it is, of course, their choice. David Cohen was arrested last week on charges of illegally importing hundreds of thousands of balloons on behalf of Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, potentially for use in airborne arson attacks on southern Israel. He used his company on behalf of Hebron-based Palestinian businessman Tassin Maj Ahmad Dufash. 4 workers were killed in a crane collapse in Yavne last Sunday, bringing the number to 20 of the workers killed on construction sites since the beginning of the year. 4 people were placed under house arrest as police launched an investigation into the collapse. The Israel Builders Association halted work across the country for 4 hours on Thursday in light of the soaring number of construction workers killed on the job. 38 people were killed on construction sites in 2018, leading to a government commitment to increase safety standards, but they have not yet implemented their own recommendations. Another man was killed in an adjacent worksite in Yavne on Thursday. This is Peter Jones-Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.
sbs.com.au